Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
You know, I think everybody has a story to tell, and I think all of us have unique experiences, and most everybody probably does. And maybe we've excused away things, or maybe things happen to us so we can teach others, or others can learn from what happens to us. I don't know if my next guest is quite completely understands what happened to him, but there was a time when he got the shock of his life, and that led him on his journey to where he is now. And with me today, Dr. Emil Allen. How you doing, Doc?
I'm doing fine. Nice to meet you, TJ.
Nice to meet you. Now, where are you located?
I'm located down in southern Florida. Just love it down here.
Now, how long have you been a practicing doctor?
Well, I finished my residency, general surgery and urology residency in 1991, and I practiced until 1998, until I had a very unusual incident happen in my life.
Well, that's what we're here to talk about. At least that's part of it. Now, you have a book called Eaten by the Tiger, which refers to a lot of this. Do you want to tell your story of what happened?
Sure. In 1998... I was at the peak of my career, 38 years of age, and whenever we operate on a patient, we always think it's the patient that has the potential for a complication in the operating room. Well, on this particular day, I was the one who actually had the complication. I was nearly electrocuted by a piece of medical equipment and had a near-death experience. It was a piece of equipment called an electrical surgical unit, which cauterizes blood vessels and cuts through tissue like a scalpel, utilizing electricity. Well, that electricity still needs to find its way back to the machine through a grounding pad. And on this particular day, the electricity couldn't find its way back to that machine. And so it took the path of least resistance, which happened to be me.
That's not good.
Yeah, so I was literally thrown back approximately 6 to 8 feet and then landed on the floor. I actually landed on my feet and collapsed to the floor and subsequently had a seizure and then heard, you know, people running around as they were trying to save my life. It was actually my OR team. We're trying to save my life, and I heard them calling for code and get the crash cart, and then all of a sudden everything went quiet and everything went dark. I didn't see anybody anymore. And then I heard a voice that said, "I'm not ready for you yet. You have more work to do." And then I heard another voice that said the same thing again. It was the same voice, but I heard it say again, "I'm not ready for you yet. You have more work to do." And I kind of saw this amorphous figure of a face, but I can't really tell if it was a man or a woman or what.
What do you think it might have been? No idea.
I'm a spiritual, religious person, so I would have to say it was God. But you know, that's my belief. You know, but I can't prove any of that. You know, all I can say is that something higher and far above than what any of us can ever comprehend. Is out there. And I can say this, is that, you know, prior to this incident, this is something I've reflected on for years. Prior to this incident, I always used to be afraid of dying. I didn't know, you know, a lot of us are, because we don't know what the unknown is going to be like. And when I, you know, passed away for at least those few seconds or minutes, for however long it was, that actually was the most peaceful time in my life. You know, all the physical and emotional suffering had gone away.
Right. I can agree with that. I mean, I've had my own experiences, not necessarily dying like that, but I've had visitations from my mom and dad who came back and were extremely lifelike. And the love I felt from them is not like any love I've felt from this place. You know, you think you love people here, I'm telling you, Emil, the love on that other side is so powerful. It just blows anything away here. It goes right through you. You can't describe it. At least that's the way I feel. And I told you about, you know, the state that I had when I was younger, having these experiences where I left my body. So you really believe you left your body and you went somewhere, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Yeah.
And so you really, and this is the same thing I feel, it's like you no longer worry about death. It's like, I think it's part of a natural thing, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we all have to go through that circle of life. And, you know, some of us have a very large circle because we might, you know, we might live into our 90s or 100s. And some of us have a very small circle. We might only live, you know, 7 or 8 years. That's one of the stories I actually talk about in my book of a beautiful little 8-year-old girl who I took care of as a physician. She had leukemia, and she only lived for 8 years from her cancer. But she had a very, very full circle in regards to, you know, she lived a very productive and wonderful life, and she was one of my greatest teachers at that young age. Whereas I've known other people that have lived in their 80s and 90s, and then their circles are not filled with very much.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So it's all about, you know, while you're here, what are you doing? What are you doing to, you know, improve the quality of life of other people?
And don't you
How
think,
are you sharing?
Yeah. Don't you think, Emil, that even when you see bad things happen to good people, it's part of a bigger plan? We don't really understand all of it. So there's always a greater reason for all of it, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I believe that in every situation, every problem, struggle, crisis, whatever you want to call it, there always is some type of a gift that can come from that incident. It may not happen at that time. We may not understand it at that time, but if we give it give it enough time to percolate, eventually a gift will come out of that incident. I see it time and time again, and it's all about reframing that crisis or tragedy into a gift.
So you, after you had this electric shock, how many volts do you think?
I am really not sure.
Six bazillion volts went through.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot. And it's not even the voltage that's really the most important part. It's more the amps. And
okay.
it just really, really did some damage. I had a traumatic brain injury, had a severe nerve injury to the hand, to the nerve in my arm and hand, which took years to you know, recover to at least the level that I would, you know, I was functional again.
So that,
and,
go ahead.
It was tough. It was really tough.
It took a long time for you to recover. And then when did you start working on this book?
That's very interesting. It took me about a year and a half to write this book, but it took me a lifetime to write this book.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the accident happened in 1998. I was recovering from my brain injury and hand injury for about three to four years. And then after that, life started happening. You know, my father got...
Sorry about that.
No problem. My father got sick from lung cancer, and I describe that story in the book and some very, very amazing lessons and some very funny stories about that whole situation. Even though it may not seem that it would be funny, but there were some great, great lessons that he left me with. And then it wasn't until about a year and a half ago, that I decided to write this book. I tried to sit down and write before, but I just wasn't emotionally ready. But then about a year and a half ago, I finally, I don't know, some spark just hit me, and I decided, you know, it's time, because I was able to get through a lot of emotional challenges and get over my fear, you know, because I was paralyzed by fear of the unknown, and I wasn't able to move forward in my life in a lot of different aspects for years, you know, early on. But then eventually I started using my surgical training and thinking about Well, yeah, when you go into the operating room and you've got plan A to, you know, do a certain operation on a patient, and if that plan doesn't work out, then you'll switch over to plan B. And if plan B doesn't work out, you'll switch that over to plan C. And you don't even think about what plan A and plan B were anymore because you're on plan C now. Mm-hmm. And that's how you have to treat your life, you know, when you're going through anything. So I started utilizing those surgical techniques that I was utilizing in my life, you know, as a surgeon, and started utilizing in my personal life for my recovery. And I talk about these very extensively in various stories, so it makes it easy for people to remember. And that's what Eaten by the Tiger, Surrendering to an Empowered Life is all about.
And I liked that. I liked what I saw, the title of that. And I like your story. It's amazing. And I always think, too, that, you know, with all of us, you know, everybody's on their own journey. And like you say, some have a more fulfilled life. And I think that's by design, because I think we come back and do this several times. And sometimes you come here and you go, nah, I'm not going to do much this time around. I'm not going to do much. But yeah, you can live like 8 years and have leukemia and live more in those 8 years than many people can in 80 years. And so I always see it that we're always learning. We're always kind of evolving. We're here really on a journey to learn. Do you feel that in any way, Emil?
Oh, yes, definitely, definitely. I mean, if you're not learning, then you might as well not be here. You know?
Right.
It's all about learning and sharing. You know, the thing that just that we all have to realize is that everything in your life is on lease. Everything. Mm-hmm. You know, all your material items, your relationships, and even your own physical body. It's on lease. It can be taken away from you or leave you in a heartbeat. So it's a matter of how you are relating to those relationships that you have with these various items and things that is going to, you know, show you, you know, how the quality of your life is going to be. You know, we shouldn't take any of these things for granted.
You and I talked before we started the interview about when people go through traumatic things, and I think this is really, really something that's important. And you touched on, we really need to find a way to release, to grieve, and get over things instead of doping ourselves up. And you had to go through a lot of that yourself.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when I was injured, I had a lot of medical conditions that were associated with my electrical injury. And so I was on a number of different medications, a total of nine different prescriptions that were very powerful prescriptions and had very severe side effects. And so with those nine prescriptions, I was taking close to 36 different pills a day. And, you know, one of the pills that they had me on was an antidepressant. And I kept telling them, I was like, hey, you know, I can understand me being on these anti-epilepsy medications, these anti-neuroleptics, but I don't need to be on an antidepressant. And I struggled and fought with my doctors about this a lot, but they really felt that I needed to be on it because, you know, they were labeling me with post-traumatic stress disorder and depression, et cetera. Well, the thing that I realized, and actually it's kind of funny, I got in an argument with one of my doctors one time, and I told her, I said, I'm not depressed. I said, I'm grieving. I'm grieving over a loss, and I had a lot of losses that all happened to me in a split second. I lost my career. I lost my identity. I lost, you know, my ability to make a living and be significant in this, you know, in what I was doing before as a surgeon. You know, I lost my ability to drive a car at that time. There was a lot of losses that occurred all at one time, and I was needing to go through the grieving process. It wasn't depression. And so, you know, that's something that I feel that we need to identify in any person that is going through any type of a life crisis, whether it's emotional, physical, or financial. You know, people are going to go through a grieving process over their loss because they're comparing what they used to have mm-hmm. to what they have now. Mm-hmm. And what happens is we tend to hold on to what we used to have, and we don't want to let go of that. And because we're holding on to that, we don't want to face the fear of the unknown of losing that, and then we have absolutely nothing. And I call that fear the tiger. Eventually, we all need to face our tigers
mm-hmm.
in order to move forward, because There's no way you can run away from the tiger. You're going to have to face it sooner or later. And that's what I talk about in Eaten by the Tiger, is learning how to face those tigers sooner and how to face those tigers. And I face my tigers today, you know, all the time. Mm-hmm. But I'm able to get through those very, very quickly and embrace, you know, that fear that I have in order to actually make me more powerful, because every time I face those things, it just makes me stronger.
Right. You know, and a part of it, don't you think a part of it too, is letting go. We have expectations of so many things. And so I find when I just let go of those things, it's so much easier to move on.
Absolutely. You know, then you have to look at it as, you know, going into your house and doing a spring cleaning and then take it down to Goodwill. And a couple of days later, you don't even forget, you don't even remember what clothes or items you took down to Goodwill. You just moved on with your life. And you got to do the same thing with your emotional attachments to things.
And I look at it too with like relationships. There are people in your life now that are not always going to be there, and they're going to go. But we're free beings, you know. We don't control anybody. We're all independent beings, sovereign beings. And so, yes, I'm going to miss you when you die or you pass, because I think everybody, you know, I think everybody transitions. So it's a temporary thing. Oh, no, this is horrible. I lived 70, 80 years and you died on me. Well, you know what? There's eternity. You know,
right.
It's like,
right.
Think of it that way. Step back and go, you know what? I guess I'll see him again if I want. I'll see him again. We have
right,
to,
right.
It's part of what, part of the journey that we're on. Go ahead.
Well, that's the thing. I think that what happens is we look at our relationships with loved ones and things as, and we treat them as a material item, just like a car or a house. It's a possession. And that's not true. We should never do that. You know, true love is allowing someone to come and go out of your life.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And if they choose to stay, then that means that that's a true love. That if they want to go, doesn't mean that they don't love you anymore. It's just that they need to do something else with their life for a while. So a lot of this drama that goes on in relationships, is, I just don't get it.
Are you married? Do you have kids?
No, I'm divorced, and I do not have children.
Mm. So you're a single man on the prowl like the tiger.
I don't know about that, but at least I won't admit to that.
So people pick up your book or they go to your website. What are they going to learn? What are we going to get from your book?
They're going to learn how to overcome life's adversities. They're going to learn how to let go. And they're going to learn how to, you know, to let go of those emotional and physical attachments that they may have in order for them to move forward with their life. They're also going to learn how to really understand what's important in life, because it's not what you think. You know, it's not those materialistic things. It's not about doing or having. It's more about being, you know. And you're also going to learn to have a much greater respect for not only your loved ones and your colleagues, but also yourself, because you're going to let go of the self-sabotaging voices that are in your head that we all have.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, anyone who says that they aren't having those voices, that's their voice telling them that. So we all have to learn how to let go of those things.
Can we reprogram it at all?
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. And I talk about that in my book, Eaten by the Tiger.
That's fascinating. Your story is fascinating. You know, I'm sure everybody has something that they go through, but sometimes I think when people have a really big, something happened to them, they're really meant to inspire others. Don't you kind of think things happen to us, there's no accidents. And when they do, we have a choice to, you can always choose not to, I think, but do you also have an option to where maybe you can inspire others with what's happened to you?
Yes, that's so true. And, you know, the thing about it, about life is that we have to have our ups and downs in life. We have to have those struggles in order for us to compare the good times. So someone may always be having good times for a period of time, so it's great to have someone else who has gone through some struggles so we can learn from them, and then vice versa. And I believe that, you know, life is all about sharing our experiences so we can learn from one another, so we can bring everybody up and improve their lives.
Right. I think, to me, we're just here to evolve as beings and spiritually. And the only way you do it is by living it again and again and again and again. And it's not so much even just, it's just the experience and learning to evolve. We're beings to me that are just energy beings that are always evolving and learning. And this is kind of, I think this is what we kind of need in a way, Emil, to sustain ourselves. Because if we were beings that didn't evolve, I don't know if we'd exist. I kind of see God as that. Like, we're an extension of God, and he's evolving through us, and he's evolving whatever way I don't even know, you know, in all these other dimensions and places. But also, because as I'm living, he's living through me, or I'm living through him, whatever way you want to put it. And so I'm always evolving. And I think that's when we're at our happiest, too. Isn't it like when we're learning and we're creating?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. Part of my recuperation when I had my brain injury and I was having difficulties counting change and reading a book, my physicians wanted me to take some art classes to use a different part of my brain just to start getting some of these synapses reconnecting again. And so I started taking oil painting, portrait painting, line drawing, and then also figure drawing with charcoal and Conti crayon. And at first, that's when I started. I was just basically stick figures, you know. But within a few months, about a year or so of taking classes over and over again, I actually got pretty good. And it is all about, you know, creating, learning, showing that our body, our brain, can actually do things that we never would have thought of. And we just have to put ourselves into those situations and then get the knowledge from other people so that we learn the techniques. And then we, like you were mentioning, will evolve. And that's what life's all about, is about evolving. And then through that evolution, we can create things that we never would have expected in our lives.
Now, are you talking also about like neuroplasticity? Is that where you fire off different parts of your brain?
Yeah.
Okay. So people that have been injured, it's just amazing, isn't it? How you could actually formulate another part of your brain to take over that.
Yes. You know, I'm a much more spiritual person now after this accident than I was prior to.
You don't have a choice on that one, right?
Yeah, but now, you know, I just know that there's just so much more to life than we even, you know, even think about. And it's just like what we're finding out with the with space and the universe. You know, we thought, you know, everything revolved around the Earth, you know, but now we're realizing there are so many galaxies out there that we're now recognizing, we're seeing these galaxies because we're having these high-powered telescopes. And we're realizing, hey, what we thought about before is not even close to what's really going on. So, you know, we're just a small speck in this whole situation here.
Have you gone back to practicing medicine then?
No, I do not practice clinical medicine where I see patients. What I do now is I do consulting and, you know, for corporations when they ask me to, as far as like with business type consulting, utilizing medical flair. And then also I'm obviously an author and a keynote speaker. I just love speaking, sharing my story, motivating individuals, and empowering people to higher levels.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of it, do you feel a lot of it, and this is, you know, something that I guess I connect with, do you think a lot of it, so much of it is controlled by our thoughts?
Yes, I do. Where focus goes, energy flows. So, you know, if you focus on something, your energy is going to be attached or concentrated on that item that you're focusing on, or that vision that you have. And now you will start seeing everything that you need in order to achieve what you're looking for. You know, it's all about creating that crystal clear vision. And the more clear it is, the better chance you're going to have of achieving that.
So it's almost like we're creating as we go along, if we really know what we want.
Yes.
It's like the universe designed, like the law of attraction, they say. It's designed to give us what we want, but we got to know what we want. We really got to know what we want.
Right, and most of the time we don't know what we want because we are always having internal conflict within ourselves. We think, oh, well, I'm having a problem with my job. Well, it's not just a problem with your job. You know, you probably have problems at home, you know, in regards to your finances, and your house is cluttered, and you've got all these things to do with the kids, and you have all these things to do with to go get groceries, and, you know, whatever these little clutter, you know, these little conflicts that you're having in your life, it's all these little tiny conflicts that show up as a much bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we clear all those little tiny conflicts and let them go, like you're talking about, just let them go, then now we can focus on what we really want and clear that path. I talk about that part in my book, clear the path so that we can achieve whatever we want.
Now, do you feel, because I know you're a physician, do you think medications can hurt us more than they can help us sometimes?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the side effects of medications can be, you know, horrendous, actually. And the thing about it is, a lot of these medications, even though they do test to see if other medications can interact with the ones that, you know, someone is on, but gosh, when you're on 9 different medications, there can be all kinds of side effects that can occur that there's no way for them to identify, because there's thousands of medications out there, and they can't test every interaction that's going on with, you know, between all these different combinations. And, you know, obviously certain prescriptions are needed in order to help someone or save someone's life. But if we can, the best thing to do is to stay off of medications as much as you can, you know, unless it's absolutely needed.
Do you believe in natural? Do you ever look into anything like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've used alternative medications and alternative medicine. And I think there's a spot for all of these throughout the care of a patient.
Mm-hmm. And you know, there's another thing, too, that I've discovered, and maybe this seems like really crazy to you, but then again, you were the one that died. So, so I'm going to tell you what I've had done to me. I've had, like, energy work done by people that they work with your energy. And it just, to me, is amazing. It literally, I went from having a sore back and a sore arm to gone completely. And I went to my chiropractor and he said, what happened? How did that happen? I said, I had some energy work done. So I got to believe that, you know, we're energy beings. And could it be that some people could actually affect that if they know how to work with that?
Well, it's funny that you brought that up. I used to never believe in any of that stuff, like the Reiki and the energy and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because I'm a surgeon. And,
right.
Two things happened. Years ago, I used to ride horses, and I had a horse that I was showing in a horse show, and the horse he got injured, you know, and he had he must have gotten a cramp or something in his left part of his leg, and he was limping, and so, you know, I had to take him out of the show, and but we were still there, you know, at the event, and I asked for a veterinarian to come by and take a look at him to see why the horse was lame in his back hind leg. And the veterinarian turned out to be an expert in animal acupuncture. So he, you know, evaluated, you know, my horse, and then he placed some acupuncture needles in certain places along the horse's spine and his hip, you know, gave the horse a little bit of a massage, and next thing you know, the horse was walking like there was nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, whoa, you know, and I never really believed in that before, the acupuncture part so much, because I thought it was just kind of like, okay, maybe just there's a placebo effect to this, but there's no way there could be a placebo effect to it with, you know, if it's an animal, because they're not going to lie about it. The animal doesn't know what's going on.
Right.
So that changed my whole view on alternative medicine. So then I had a lot of shoulder pain in my opposite shoulder where my injury had occurred, and it got to the point at one point in time where I couldn't get my arm above my head. And I went to see an orthopedic surgeon, and he said that he thought that I had rotator cuff condition. He wanted to do a bunch of x-rays to rule it out, and et cetera. And something just told me, you know, something else is going on. And what I had not realized is that my father had passed away 2 months prior. And that's about the same time that the shoulder pain came up.
Wow.
And then when I had some energy work, the shoulder pain went away instantaneously.
Yep.
And it never came back again because I actually, the energy work was actually at the same time I was getting, you know, I had reframed, you know, my father's passing away into a gift, and all of it went away. It was just amazing.
Yeah, that's the same thing with me. It's like, and what you're telling is confirmation. So this is cool, and I'm glad you're sharing this because I go see a chiropractor, and I really believe in what it can do. I think your spine has to be aligned so you can have that energy flow down it. You know, it's just like keeping your car aligned. And I don't know how you feel about that, but my chiropractor knows when I've had a stressful week because it'll show up on my back.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I'm in a really good mood and happy and everything, it's like, well, don't need to make any adjustments. You must be feeling good. I say, yep, I'm feeling great.
That's true.
The same with this woman from Pennsylvania who did energy work on me. Her name is Joy. She's been on my show before.
Mm-hmm.
She's in Pennsylvania. I'm laying in my bed in Michigan, and she's doing energy work on me over the phone. And that I had the same problem as you. My back was stiff and my shoulder. And she said there's light beings, energy beings around me, and they're working. She invited them in, and they worked on me. When she was done, it was gone. There was nothing. And that's when I went to my chiropractor right after that. And he said, what happened? Now your back's totally fine again. So I know that there could be many, 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 many things that could be going on. And I really believe, you know, we are at our core energy, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, our whole body is nothing but electrical circuits and energy. And it does. It has to be aligned in order for those pathways to reach their, you know, their intended target. So it all makes sense.
So your essence, when you left your body for that moment, did you get a feel for what you were? You weren't flesh anymore, right?
That part's hard to describe. I mean, all I know is that the physical and emotional suffering had gone away, and I just felt at peace. And the room was dark at that time. I didn't, you know, it's not like, oh, did you see the light? No, I didn't see the light. You know, there's no light.
Have you had, like you said, your dad, he passed away, right?
Yes.
Have you had visitations or dreamlike states where these people have come back to you?
Actually, I haven't had dreamlike states. I've had, you know, during, while I'm awake, my mom has also passed away too from pancreatic cancer, and I actually have had the immense pleasure of being able to see my mom and my dad in various forms.
Really?
Since then. And it's within nature.
Mm-hmm.
There's just like to give you an example, like my father, when he passed away, I'll never forget this, when he passed away, his very, very last breath, I was holding him in my arms, and I was, you know, crying and telling him that, you know, Dad, we'll be back together again soon. And he took his last breath, and when he was taking his last breath, I was inhaling, you know, because I was crying, and I was inhaling, and his breath went right into me.
Mm.
I was like, whoa, you know, it was really, really shocked me, you know, and then right when that happened, I looked outside his hospital bed window. It was kind of a cloudy day, and it had been raining, but the clouds had opened up, and this beam of light had come through the clouds. And this blackbird flew by at this, you know, right at that time. You know, I'll never forget that vision, that picture. Well, now, whenever I see this beam of light opening up from the cloud, it usually is happening when I'm dealing with something.
Hmm.
And I need some guidance, and I see that beam, and I know that's my father reminding me and talking to me at that time. And so that's how it comes to me. I know that other people say that they see their family members every once in a while, and, you know, everyone has their own experiences. But
right.
That's how I get my message.
What about your mother?
My mom, she always loved these doves, and one day, you know, and it's, you know, doves are everywhere, you know, you depending on what part of the country you are, but doves are everywhere. But again, I was having some difficulties where I was, you know, struggling over some things, and I live on a high-rise building, and there's a balcony, right overlooking the water here. And this single dove came over and flew and landed on my balcony and decided to stay here and nest.
Hmm.
And it became my friend for about, a few weeks while I was nesting on my balcony.
Hmm.
And it wasn't afraid of me. Never flew away when I go by the window or anything. And then eventually it left, and then it came back the following year. So it's, it's always something happening, that reminds us. Now, to someone else, they may not think that was anything. It was just coincidence.
No.
I believe that was a higher calling.
Well, I definitely believe you, too, because I know too many people, myself included. I'm not going to get into the story. I'll tell you when we're done with the interview, but I got a pretty amazing bird story to tell you about somebody that passed on. But I really believe that it seems like, as energy, we can come back and we can communicate or be around others, sometimes in through animals or just in a kind of a misty form or sometimes through a dream state. I mean, I've explored this my whole life too, pretty much, It's
interesting.
So let me ask you this before we wrap it up. Any message you want to leave for people or something you want to say? Again, your website is eatenbythetiger.com. What else would you like to say, Dr. Emil Allen?
You're not alone. You're not alone in your struggle. So if anyone is, struggling with some type of crisis in their life, whether it's emotional, physical, or financial, realize you don't have to be pegged with a diagnosis of being depressed. Realize it, realize that it's that you're grieving over a loss, and allow yourself to go through that grieving process. You have every right to do that. And, don't let anyone label you. That will be one message. And the next message I would say is I hope that you will take the time, to pick up Eaten by the Tiger and read it, because every person who I've spoken to who has read my book, they get a message from the book depending on where they are in their life. I've had people who've read this book three times, and they said each time they read the book, they got a different message from it. And, there are some very, very powerful stories. Each story has a point that you can apply to your life, and it will empower you. It really will.
Well, I thank you very much for your time. Thanks for being on my
show. Thank you.
Thanks.
I appreciate that, TJ. I really do. Thank you.
We'll talk again.
All right. Take care.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.